This morning's public reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 9. And as I get there, please be reminded, Jesus heals a man in the temple complex, the outer court, and it's going to cause a big commotion. And remember how Jesus did the miracle. He did it something, some people would say that he did it unconventionally versus just simply speaking. He makes mud out of spit. And then he puts it on the man's eye sockets, and then he tells him to go wash his face. And in doing so, the mud comes off, and the man sees for the first time. We also learn, too, in the ancient world, if somebody was born with a physical deformity, that was considered you or somebody in your family got the gods ticked off. And so you got the whammy by being born, in this case, blind. When people do ask him, who healed you? Remember how we left off last week? He simply says, a man named Jesus. A man. I want you to file that. Today we're going to read 13 to 25. All right? They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. So now it reaches the point where the local people that are in the temple complex can't get any further with this man identifying who did it. They bring him to the authorities. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. That was a no-no. According to the Pharisees, Jesus broke the Sabbath by working. He made clay. That was considered work in their eyes, and thus a no-no. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. So they interrogate him. He said unto them, He put clay upon my eyes, and I washed and do see. Notice, he. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, referring to Jesus, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Now bear in mind the Sabbath day as they had reinterpreted. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a what? A division among them. Notice that Jesus is the fly in the ointment in any debate. Jesus will divide the believer from the unbeliever. Jesus will divide the man and the woman of faith versus the skeptic and the agnostic. In the atheist, Jesus is a great divider, not a uniter of men. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he had opened thine eyes? He said, oh, he's a prophet. So now we go from simply a man to a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him. So the Jews just outrightly denied the man that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. So initially, the leaders, they called the blind man who's now healed. He's the liar. So now they interrogate mommy and daddy. They ask them saying, is this your son whom ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? And I love this. You talk about a little bit of comedy. His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who had opened his eyes, we know not. I love this. Watch this. He's of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. Oh, what a jab. I mean, these are poor folk. I mean, these are common folk. Please bear in mind, the religious leaders look down their noses to the people to whom they were supposed to be shepherding. The Pharisees and the Sadducees live like kings, and they look down on people like this. I find it almost as if the parents got a little jab back at these clowns. He's old enough. He's of age. You ask him. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. Now watch. For the Jews had agreed already, the religious leaders, the pastors, that if any man did confess that he, Jesus, was Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue, excommunicated. Therefore his parents said, "He's of age, ask him." Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Please be seated. Oh, there's so much here. Please be seated. Wow. See, beloved, in most churches, you no longer have the public reading. The public reading of God's word is gone. If they do read it, maybe it's a little snippet. But to actually go through an entire book is a whole different story. And we've been doing that for 19 years here. That was something that when they asked me to be their pastor, I'm going to be a very prolific Bible reader and you're going to be a prolific Bible listener. That's what you're going to get. Okay? I'm not up here to have, you know, juggle apples. Now, are you with me with the story? The place is packed with people, the outer court, that could facilitate thousands of people. And Jesus performs this miracle. And Jesus kind of like walks away. And everybody's around there saying, "Hey, we know this guy. He was the one begging because he was born blind." "No, I don't think that's the man." "No, that's the man." And the man says, "It is me." "Well, who healed you?" "A man named Jesus." "A man." And then eventually they yanked this guy before a tribunal. Just think of like Bible professors and seminary. I mean, big shots in that religious world in the first century. Big shots. The movers and shakers of Jerusalem. And they got this poor beggar, now he can see, and now he's on the carpet. "Who healed you?" "A man." "What man?" "Jesus." "This man's a sinner, because he broke the Sabbath according to our understanding. He made clay." "How did he do it?" And the blind man tells him, "Well, then that's considered working on the Sabbath." Remember when Jesus was plucking the grain out there in the fields and his disciples were eating and the Pharisees would be like you know, eagles over him, ready to pounce? "Hey, you're breaking the Sabbath because you're eating on the Sabbath." The Jews made a stipulation that if you did this, if you rubbed grain, what am I producing when I'm rubbing? Heat. You're cooking on the Sabbath. That's how foolish the Pharisees became by the time Jesus came. By simply doing this and eating the little kernel, by rubbing, you're producing heat, and that was considered cooking on the Lord's, on the Sabbath day. And thus you violated the intent of the Sabbath. Well, when they could get no way with this man, they ended up dragging Mummy and Daddy. So that means Mummy and Daddy was also in that big crowd. And they're watching their poor blind son, born blind from birth, making his livelihood by shaking a cup. I bet that must have broke their hearts to see their son in that condition. So they called the parents. First question, "Is this your boy?" "Well, yeah. She gave birth to him." "Yeah, that's our son." "And was he born blind initially?" "Yes, he was born blind." "How come he can see now?" "Ask him. He's of age." Oh, I love that. I like that dig. He's old enough to speak for himself. But look at that verse 22. Let me show you how dangerous man-made religion can be. Okay? The Jews had made a law by this time that was on the street there in Jerusalem. If anybody was so bold and so open to make any suggestion that the carpenter from Nazareth was Messiah, the anointed of God, the fulfillment of all the Old Testament types and shadows, the gospel as it was portrayed in the tabernacle and later on inside the temple, if you even verbalized, if you just mouth off that you were considering Jesus to be Messiah, they excommunicated you. You were kicked out of the synagogue. Look at that verse 22. That's an example of runaway man-made religion gone nuts. But guess what? There are parts of the world right now on that map. You see the colored, those countries there in color? The real dark green? That is a country right now, if you were to do this in public, make a pronouncement that Jesus is Messiah and not Allah and not Muhammad, you're dead. They don't excommunicate you. They take your head off your shoulders. You don't even get a call to your lawyer. You're gone. Beloved, I'm here to tell you, man-made religion is deadly. Biblical Christianity, without any human additions or trappings, is life-giving. So beware, I'm cautioning you, beware of any system that may call itself Christian, but treats its membership cruelly and with man-made rules that are not found in Scripture. Look at that verse 22. In the first century in Jerusalem, if you were a member of a synagogue and you were contemplating believing in Jesus as you heard him, and you were contemplating confessing that he was the Christ, not only were you excommunicated from the synagogue, there's a little caveat to that. You were also excommunicated from your family. There's a price to pay today if you want to be a Bible-believing Christian, even in America. Verse 23, therefore said his parents, he's of age, ask him. Then they called the blind man back. Give God the praise, verse 24. Give God the glory. Give it all back to God. What do you think of him? Give God the glory. Tell us that this man, acknowledge to us that he's a sinner, that he's no good, he's evil, he's a deceiver. Beloved, verse 25 is very important. The blind man answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no. At this point, this man is still looking at Jesus as a man, but he's gone so far now to add something in verse 17. He's now gone from simply a man, but a man who's a prophet. Okay, he's now moved one or two pegs forward. This is something I give to young Christians. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. When it comes to sharing your faith with friends, family, and neighbors, a lot of Christians get intimidated. Even I get intimidated, even to this day. It's very intimidating to try to open up any conversation that you might have with a family member who's not saved. They're cantankerous. The church is full of a lot of hypocrites, mom and dad. Yeah, so are doctors and dentists, but you still go to both of them. That's a cop-out. Hypocrites in the church. Well, we know that. At least we're honest. We know there are. You're going to have a Judas and you're going to have a Demas now to the end of time. Get over it. But it's very intimidating to try to open up a conversation with a total stranger about Jesus. Would you agree? I find it so. Many times we just simply keep silent and we let that person just pass off the scene in our lives. We hope we never see them again. But when it comes to sharing your faith, bear one thing in mind, you are not responsible for their decision or their rejection. You're not a midwife. You're just another believer sharing the gospel, the same gospel that saved you, you're sharing with this person who's not a believer. But it's not your responsibility to make them believe. You can't do that. Only God the Holy Spirit can do that. Our responsibility is to plant the seed of that gospel in their heart. or to water it because somebody else before you had planted that seed. And now this person comes into your life, and now maybe you're the second or the third person that's now coming into their life, and you're going to share the gospel. You're going to share the truth once again, and they're going to give you their time and listen to it again and again until finally God, the Holy Spirit, makes it all fall into place. Your responsibility is to share the gospel. And you can do that in all different ways. All different ways. You don't need to be ordained to do that. You don't need to be a Billy Graham. You don't need to be a Franklin Graham. Be you. What was this man's testimony? Once I was blind, but now I see. How do we bring that over into salvation? Dear sinner friend, there was a time when I was lost, just like you. I had no desire for God. I had no desire for the church. The Bible was a dead book to me. I wanted God out of my life. I was the captain and the co-pilot of my life, no one else. Until one day someone shared the gospel. There was a time when I was totally blind and ignorant to who God was, totally blind and ignorant about Christ and the cross, Christmas and Easter combined. I was a fool. And then one day, God opened my heart, my mind to the truth, and He received me. What's so hard about that? You don't need to know Hebrew or Greek. If you can talk English, you can repeat what I just shared with you. What's the gist of that verse 25? The blind man said, once I lived in darkness, now I live in light. There was once a time when I was a stranger to the world around me. I couldn't see it. I could feel it, but I couldn't see it. Now I see everything. Besides touching it, I can see it. I can handle it. And now I know what it is for the first time in my life. So my dear Christian friend, you may be intimidated by sharing the gospel with a stranger or even a family member or even a neighbor. And I'm going to tell you, I would agree. It's very intimidating. Have I wasted my opportunities? Yes. But when I'm given that opportunity and the other person on the other end of that equation is willing to listen, then I'll pour my heart out to them like I'm pouring it out to you from behind this podium. What is your message? What is your message? Once I was blind to all the things of God, but now I see clearly. That's the door opener to your ability to now share the gospel with someone whom maybe you've made a little curious about this thing called the faith. So can I encourage you with that? This man was not a college graduate. This man was not a Greek and Hebrew scholar. He was a beggar born blind. And in his culture, he was a marked man. He was cursed by virtue of being born and brought into this world with that disease or that illness or that limitation to his body. But then notice also, finally, his graduation. A man. Oh, a prophet. Watch what happens in the next reading, how further he goes in his own journey. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.